Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18 contains what Jesus later referred to as the second greatest commandment in the law of God. This old commandment reads in Leviticus 19 verse 18, "Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord." That commandment, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. A commandment that, as Jesus said, was the second greatest commandment in that law that God gave to the people of Israel. It's also a part of the law of Christ in the New Testament. This is one of several commandments. In fact, most of the Ten Commandments are also repeated and taught as part of the New Testament. And so is that commandment there in Leviticus 19, verse 18. If we turn over to Romans chapter 13 and look at verses 8 through 10, we will see that commandment given here as part of the New Testament, along with several other commandments from the law of Moses. Romans 13, 8 through 10. "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law." So there we have that commandment from Leviticus 19:18, repeated there in Romans 13 and verse 9. And we can see how all those commandments, as Jesus said, the other commandments hang upon the two great commandments, to love God with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. The other commandments hang upon those. And he mentions that and makes that application here in Romans 13. Commandments such as, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Anyone who breaks one of those commandments is doing harm, working ill to their neighbor. You can't commit adultery, you can't kill, you can't steal, you can't bear false witness, you can't covet what belongs to another, you can't do any of those things without hurting someone else, working ill to them. Love works no ill to his neighbor. So those commandments that God has given, the ones he mentions there, along with so many others, are part of what it means to love one another and to love our neighbor as ourselves, as we cannot do these things without working ill to our neighbor, these things that God has commanded us not to do. So that's very briefly showing us that old commandment that God gave, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, that we still have to pay very close attention to. Yet in John chapter 13, Jesus, in teaching us to love one another as part of his covenant, has also taken this commandment and given a new commandment that is on a higher plane than that old commandment that we were just reading about. Let's look at John 13, 34 and 35. He says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another." So did Jesus teach us to love one another? Yes, he did. He did not only teach us to love our neighbor as ourself, that we have, but in addition to that, we have to go beyond that. We have to love one another. We've been commanded to love one another as Christ has loved us. That, Jesus says, is a new commandment that he has given as part of his law. Well, is it a higher standard for us to love someone as we love ourselves? Or is it higher to love someone the way Christ has loved them? And we can recognize the love that Christ has had for us and for his disciples is a greater love than we have for ourselves. The love of Christ, being the love of God, is the highest of love. And we need to have that kind of love for one another. So this new commandment is a very high calling, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This is part of that, a very high standard that he has given to us to meet. Well, is that important? Or is it even necessary? Can we just stop at the old commandment, love our neighbor as ourselves, and then call ourselves successful there, and then not go on to loving our neighbor or loving one another as Christ has loved us. No, when we look at the scriptures, we can see that loving one another as Christ has loved us, it is a commandment of the Lord. It is the new commandment. Commandments are not optional. We have to obey the Lord's commandments in order to have eternal salvation. Should it surprise us that God requires us to obey that commandment that Jesus gave in John 13, 34, and 35, that new commandment, that he would require that as part of what he says is necessary in order for us to obtain eternal salvation. That should not surprise us. If we turn over to the book of 1 John, and John the Apostle was the one that is identified as the disciple that Jesus loved throughout the Gospel of John. And there is consistency in the material that God inspired through the Apostle John. And John, of course, was inspired by God to write five of the New Testament books. We might tend to think of John, the Gospel of John, and that's his book. But we also have 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John and the book of Revelation. So aside from Paul, the Apostle, John was inspired to write more of the material of the New Testament than any other writer, any other human being. So, and what God inspired through John is very deep material, if you really study it. And it really does dwell on that subject of the love of God, and what is deeper than that. And so here in 1 John, we see this being a recurrent subject, chapter after chapter, in this book. And we can briefly survey through that, looking at a few passages in the first four chapters of 1 John that should serve to drive home this point in showing to us, proving to us, the necessity of our obeying that new commandment to love one another as Christ has loved us, that we have to do that if we're going to spend our eternity in heaven with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ and with one another, all of those who are faithful children of God. 1 John chapter 1, 5 through 7, we'll see that condition spelled out very plainly here in verses 5 through 7. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, does He mention the new commandment there in those three verses? No, but stay tuned for what's coming in the next chapter and how that ties in with what He does say in 1 John 1, 5 through 7. Let's look at the point of verses 5 through 7. Is there any darkness in God? No, there is not. There is no darkness in Him at all. God is light. For us to be in fellowship with God, what must we do according to verse 6? Well, He says if we say that we have fellowship and we're walking in darkness, then we're lying and we're not doing the truth. Therefore, to be true and to have fellowship with God, it is a requirement that we what? That we walk in the light. We cannot walk in darkness and be in fellowship with God because there is no darkness in God. He is light. Look at the condition for us to have fellowship one with another. Verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That means if we're walking in darkness, we don't have fellowship with God. We do not have fellowship with His children. Now, if that's the case, then how can we, is God going to bring into heaven to dwell with Him in eternity someone that He is not in fellowship with and that is not in fellowship with the rest of His family, His children? That is not going to happen. So it is required then that we walk in the light. Now, what does that have to do with this new commandment? Well, let's look now at chapter 2, verses 7 through 11 here in 1 John. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Do we see a relationship between the new commandment and walking in the light? If we don't love our brother and we hate our brother, he says we are not walking in the light, we are in darkness. That would mean, based on what we saw in 1 John, that we have no fellowship with God, no fellowship with his son, no fellowship with one another, and we'll lose our souls. So we must love one another. That is part and parcel of walking in the light. Then he says, or as part of that passage, in the first place, verse 7, now this might come across to us as confusing or maybe even sound contradictory on the surface, where he says, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old one. And then in verse 8, again, a new commandment I write unto you. Well, which is it? Is it not a new one? Is it an old one? Or is it a new one? Well, he's saying it's both. There is a sense in which this is an old commandment, but there's also a sense in which this is the new commandment. Well, we've seen the other part there in John 13, 34, and 35. How is this a new commandment, that we love one another? Loving one another as Christ has loved us. That is what Jesus said is the new commandment, that is new compared to the Old Testament. What is the context of his statement in verse 7 where he says it's not really new to us? Well, is it new to our ears? Is today, this morning, as we read John 13, 34, and 35 just a few minutes ago, first time you've ever heard that? Don't believe so. We've heard that for a while, haven't we? And that's what he was saying there. This is the word which you've heard from the beginning. This wasn't a new commandment to their ears. They had been hearing this for many years. So there is that sense in which it's not new, but yet it is new from the standpoint it's part of the New Testament as the law of Christ. So he's mentioning that from both standpoints there, but he is clearly referring to that commandment of Christ that we love one another as Christ has loved us. We must obey that commandment to be walking in the light. Otherwise, we're in darkness and we have no fellowship with God and we're not going to be saved. Now in chapter 3, verses 10 through 15, we see more of this. He says, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Could the Lord make it any more clear than in those verses that we just read here, verses 10 through 15 of 1 John 3, that if we don't love one another, if we don't love our brother, that we're not going to be able to enter into heaven for our eternal home? We can't have eternal life abiding in us. And there again, we need to have eternal life abiding in us if we're going to inherit that eternal life. And to have Jesus Christ in us and have his love in us, if we know him, then we have eternal life in us. Jesus spoke about that in John 17. But we need to have that eternal life abiding in us. We need to be revealed to be a child of God rather than the child of the devil. In verse 10, he says there is something that will reveal to us whose child we are. Now, is there the possibility that we could not be the child of either God or the devil? No, there's not that possibility. We are the child of one or the other. We all have a spiritual father. The question isn't, do we have a spiritual father? The question is, who is our spiritual father? And that's the only question. Now, the answer to that question is determined not by what we say or what we claim. It's going to be determined or revealed according to what we do in regard to these commandments of God. If we're not keeping the commandments of God, if we're not doing righteousness, and verse 7 says, let no man deceive you, he that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. We have to do what's right. Keep the commandments of God. If we're not, how can we be God's child? If we're doing things against God's will and against his commandments, we're not his child. Whose child are we? Then we're a child of the devil. And then he specifically mentions, neither he that loveth not his brother. He uses that as the example of not doing what is right, of not doing righteousness, not keeping that new commandment that Jesus gave. He says that's the message we've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. There in verse 11, exactly like what 1 John 2 verse 7 was speaking about. But here again, he's speaking on the subject of the new commandment for us to love one another as Christ has loved us. This is whether we obey that commandment or not is going to go a long way to identifying whether we are a child of God or a child of the devil. And we need to make sure we're a child of God, that we're in fellowship with him. We're his child because we're walking in his light, loving our brother, loving one another as Christ has loved us. Chapter 4, verses 19 through 21. 1 John 4, 19 through 21. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Can we even love God if we don't love our brother? Which of us has been in God's presence from the standpoint that we can say, yes, I've seen him. We haven't been there yet. That is our hope. But for that hope to be realized, to be fulfilled, what must we do? How can we love God whom we haven't seen if we don't love our brother, his child, whom we have seen? That's the question that he brings up there. Being a rhetorical question, the answer clearly is we don't love God if we don't love our brethren. We must love our brother in order for us to love God. And if we say we love God and we hate our brother, he says again, we're telling a lie. So we have to love our brother to be walking in the light. We have to love our brother to love God. Now, how many different ways does he bring home this point here in 1 John regarding this commandment that Jesus gave, that we love one another as Christ has loved us, and how important that is and necessary for our salvation. Let's turn to the book of James, to chapter 2. In verses 1 through 4, he describes a situation that we might really recognize as being human nature, the natural thing for people to do. But the natural thing for people to do, how often is that the wrong thing? And even though this is so typical of human behavior, we can't behave this way as children of God and be right with God. But look at the situation as he describes it here in James 2, verses 1 through 4. And by the way, lest we think, this was written almost 2,000 years ago, and this can't have any relevance to our day and time. We're so modern and sophisticated here in the year 2012. What could possibly have been written so long ago that could have any to be in touch with our reality today? Nothing has changed. Look at what he describes, how he describes people here. Is it any different? He says, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? So here we see a situation where he's talking about the assembly of the Lord's church, of his people, children of God, and are they treating all their brethren equally? Are they loving their brother here? Well, here's one that's poor. Now, does this happen today where somebody, if they come in and they're obviously very well off, and somebody comes in and they're obviously not, that could affect the way people view them and the way they treat them? People aren't any different today, are they? I had an opportunity to think about that a little bit on the drive-in as we were coming through town this morning, and there was a very obvious poor man pushing a cart across the street, and it reminded me of many years ago in another location, not here in Columbia, but there was one of the brethren in the church brought a couple of people in. He was working with them, trying to study with them, but they looked about like that, and that upset some people in the church. They didn't like the way they looked. They looked poor. They were poor. But it did affect how some viewed them. Well, here he's talking about a brother in Christ. Are we going to judge our brother based on what kind of clothes they wear and whether they have much or they have little? That's on the outward. That's the outward man. That's of the flesh. That's respecting faces. He'll say, calls it respecting persons here. Literally, it's faces. The face is the outside of us, not the inside. Does God judge by the outward appearance? 1 Samuel 16 and verse 17, verse 7, God said, men do that. They judge by the outward appearance. God does not. He says, God judges by the heart. Are we going to be judged on judgment day by our color, by our ethnicity, by our bank account? Well, at that point, are we even going to have color? Are we going to have ethnicity? Are we going to have a bank account when we're on judgment day? All that's going to be long over with. I mean, is he going to judge us by these things that pertain to whatever we were on this earth as far as the outward part is concerned? He's not, and we can be thankful for that. That's not the way God judges and deals with us. He is going to judge us by our hearts. What we've just been looking at in 1 John, are we his child or are we a child of the devil? Are we obeying our God, our Creator? Are we doing what he says to do? How are we treating our brethren? Those are the things that he's going to be judging us on. And in verses 8 through 13 here in James 2, he says, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect to persons, and there literally again, it's respect to faces, the situation he was just describing there in verses 1 through 4, he says, if you do that, notice what he says, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. If we are treating our brethren, judging our brethren on these outside things that pertain to the flesh, not the heart, he says you are respecting persons and you're guilty of sin. Now, could he say it any other way to make it plain? You're guilty of sin if you do that. He says you're a transgressor of the law. Verse 10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. So you can say, well, I'm keeping all the other parts. You're still a transgressor if you're not keeping that part. If you're disobeying that commandment, he says you're a transgressor. Can we pick which commandment we're going to transgress and say, well, I'm keeping all the other ones, so I'm okay? If we're a transgressor, we're a transgressor. If we're going to be saved, we better not be a transgressor. And that includes this commandment here. And we can see how this applies to that commandment of loving one another. Again, he quoted from Leviticus 19:18 there in verse 8. Verse 11, he says, for he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. So how should we speak and how should we live as ones who are going to be judged by this law of liberty? Is he telling us that we need to, with every word that we utter, with every act that we commit, that it needs to be based in our minds thinking about, I'm going to be judged by God one day for what I'm about to say or what I'm about to do? Is that what the way that we should go about and conduct our business as far as how we live, what we say, what we think, and all of that? That we should be thinking about, we're going to be judged one day for this. That is what he tells us to do. Ultimately, what are we desiring in the judgment? We're all going to be there. We are, you know, Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. That's an appointment all of us are going to keep, whether we want to keep it or not. We're not going to be able to skip out on that one. We're all going to be there one day. We're going to be giving account before our Maker of how we lived on this earth. And at that time, what do we desire to have from him when that day comes? Anybody here want mercy from God? Do not we all desire to have the maximum amount of mercy that we can possibly obtain on that day? For that to happen, what do we have to show to others? And that's not merciful when we don't love our brother. That's not merciful, and that's not love when we respect faces. So the Lord is showing us very clearly here how important this is for our salvation. And it's also necessary for our growth as a Christian, for us to grow spiritually. The clock is against me. It's not worth our time to blast through. Looks like I got another easy 12 to 15, 20 scriptures left. Instead of doing that in 5 minutes, We're going to go into this some more, Lord willing, next Sunday morning. How about that? These are some things that we've already got to think about, some things to chew on as we consider this new commandment that the Lord has given us to love one another as Christ has loved us. That goes beyond, again, that old commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. We truly do need to study the heart of Christ, to know His love as it is exemplified in His life, and that love that He showed for His disciples while He was on the earth, we need to show towards one another. And we'd better do that if we're going to be in fellowship with God, walking in the light, being a child of His, loving Him, so that ultimately one day we can have our souls saved in eternity. We're going to encourage anyone that is here this morning that needs to respond to the Lord's invitation and to obey the gospel of Christ. Well, these things that we've been looking at already in our study this morning are things we have to do to be saved, things that Christians are commanded to do and to maintain in order to have salvation. But how can that salvation come if we don't even start by becoming a Christian? We can't be in fellowship with God if we don't walk in the light, and we can't be in the light if we're not in Christ His Son. And we can't be in Christ His Son if we've not obeyed the commandments that He's given us, where He says, do this in order to put on Christ, in order to have your sins washed away, in order to have your name written in heaven. The Lord tells us, commands us, to believe in Jesus Christ, His Son, in order for us to not die in our sins. In John chapter 8, verse 24, He says, except you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. We cannot have our sins forgiven. We cannot be saved without believing in Jesus Christ, God's Son. That faith has to be carried through to the point that we're willing to confess Him before men, where we're going to say, yes, I do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Ethiopian eunuch did that in Acts chapter 8. Romans 10, 9 and 10 commands us to make that confession unto salvation. We also have to repent or we're going to perish, Luke 13 and verse 3. Acts 2 verse 38 says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. I didn't make up any of those words. That's not my law. It's not my commandment. Those are the commandments of God. And He says in Galatians 3:27, as many of us as have been baptized into Christ to put on Christ. These are things that God says we have to do to put on Christ, to have our sins washed away, to be a Christian, to have our names written in heaven and have hope of eternal life. If you have not obeyed those commandments yet this morning, now is an opportunity for you to do that. And we're encouraging you to hear the Lord who's knocking at your door right now. Open that door to Him by obeying Him and keeping those commandments. You can do that right now. No reason for you to walk out of this building in the next few minutes without the hope of eternal salvation. No reason for that at all. We would be glad to assist you in obedience to the gospel of Christ so that you can be saved. If you are a Christian and if you've not loved your brother, if you've not been keeping His commandments as you should, and you need to repent of that, you have that opportunity also. We do want to encourage anyone that needs to respond to the Lord's invitation to do that right now while we stand and sing.